Hello.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You all have permission to enter. I'm going to say it right in the top of the hour here.
Top of the morning, Julia.
The tippy top of the morning or the afternoon, whenever you listen to us, because I feel like we keep forgetting to say it. So here we go. Permission to enter, granted.
It's LC and Tiffany today. Yeah, I'm excited.
It's just us, guys. Your faves. Your absolute faves. You might not
You know what? We haven't done this in a while, and I don't know why all of a sudden just got the sudden desire and spark to kind of give who we are and why we're doing this, but I did. So
okay.
I'm going to give it to you.
Let's go.
LC is in a former life reality star.
I was like, don't fucking say
that. She was on a Netflix reality dating show called Love is Blind. And I, Tiffany, am your local beauty influencer.
Local and a little from Atlanta.
A couple of other things in between there. So I talk about motivation, inspiration, and lots of beauty products.
Wow, you got such a cool like intro. You do all this stuff, and I'm like a former reality star who was on a show for, let me just reiterate, maybe all of 20 minutes. So, well, that's a loose term we're using there. But
you moved a lot of people. That's all it's about.
I made a lot of people cry. I made my own self cry. So,
and we're best friends. That's important to know here as well.
Best friends.
Besties. But we're in totally two different parts of our life. If you guys are new to the show, I have a 6-year-old and I have a 5-year relationship with my boyfriend that I live with. And we have 3 kids in our house and we have crazy chaos. And Lauren is dating.
Maybe I just don't know how to pitch myself, but I really just feel like, and your intros, like your life is so much more interesting when you intro it like that. Cause I'm like, hi, I'm LC. I have a cat. I live by myself.
Dude, I will intro you and make you sound like the coolest motherfucker out here because you are.
Okay, go. Let's go.
Okay, so I'm going to pretend like my name is LC. So, hi guys, I'm LC. I live a really cool, spontaneous life.
Are you trying
life.
To talk? Is that how I talk? I do talk. I
don't have
I
a lot of voices. I'm pretty, pretty monotone. So like I have to really work on my inflections. So yeah. I try to do a different voice, but it inevitably leads to the same tone.
She can't.
And I'm working.
You can't think about what you're going to say and worry about your tone in your face. See, I only worry about my tone in my face and I never think about what I'm going to say. So there's pros and cons.
Okay, so my name is LC and I live a really spontaneous life. I have lots of fun and I'm not tied down to anything or anyone. So I get to do what I want all the time. I was on a dating show that came out last year. It was wildly successful and I wasn't on there a lot, but I was very authentic to myself. So I'm really proud of that. And now I have a podcast with my best friend. Her name's Tiffany. She's an influencer on Instagram and we talk about really dumb and also inspiring stuff on our podcast. So that basically sums up who I am, what I like to do, and I'm not sure where I'm going in life, but you guys are here on this journey with me.
We're going to figure it out together, guys.
I'm just saying, I think you're a pretty cool cat.
That was a good elevator pitch. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I did forget to mention Blue though. He's pretty important.
Oh, he is my number one main character in my life.
And I have a really handsome cat. His name is Blue and he is wildly close to like the characteristics of a human, but
he's me as a cat,
a little sassier. He's got a lot of attitude.
Yeah, he's also
and
got
he
a lot of
poses a lot. You're really lucky.
He's so pretty. Oh my god. Well, maybe one day I'll do a whole podcast just how much I love my cat. DM me if you want to hear it.
I love how he right now in this moment he's sitting in the shot of
in
the Zoom. But
make sure
that he's like able to be seen and always doing something really sexy.
He's
like licking
got
his
it.
Balls or like
so hot.
He'll like cross his fingers and sit promptly over them. He's always doing something real fancy.
He crosses his fingers.
Does his fingers? I meant his arms. His front paws. He crosses them and then like opens his chest up a little bit.
Yeah. He's got a good posture. Better posture than I do. Anyway, this is not going to be a whole podcast about my cat. But hey, if you want it, DM us and we'll do it. I'll be more than happy. But anyway, it's been a hot minute since we just were on here together. So what's been going on, Tiffany? Tell us about your life.
What's been going on? A lot has been going on in my area. So I don't even know where to start other than last week, all of the schools in Gwinnett County, including Eliza's city school. So county schools are a little bit different than city schools. So they don't follow the same rules, but they all had to do a mandatory 1 week shutdown for COVID numbers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she came in contact with someone at her school that was tested positive.
For COVID.
So basically a teacher walked by her that then tested positive later. So then she had to quarantine for 10 days. And she didn't have COVID. Everything was all good. But what that did mean was I had to be teacher Tiffany for a week. And
you loved it. And I know you were busy and I know it was hard, but you, I think, secretly loved it.
I'm not going to lie. I am really good at a lot of things.
You love to be needed. You love to be needed. You love Eliza, obviously. You love to help her. So yes. I think you had a great time deep down.
Yes, I'm a good teacher to Eliza. I couldn't do it to other kids, but we have a lot of fun. So she learned so much so quickly. So it does excite me to see her like learn right in front of me. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of other stuff to do. And I'm a very dedicated mom. I'll tell you that right now, straight up front. If Eliza is in my care, I give her 150%. There is no slacking off for me. I will plan 40 things for her to do during the day because at that time, I feel like my number one job is to be the best mom above all else. It's like fanatic. It's a little psycho, I would say.
Well, do you think that you would be like that if you had her just full time?
Yes. I think my obsession.
Thank God you don't have full time that you'd have no life.
I think if I'm being honest about it, it's an obsession with being different than my mom was with me.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
It's not even healthy, I don't think. So I'm trying to find that balance of not being so hands-on in order to make up for shortcomings. Perceived shortcomings of motherhood. So I don't ever want to be like my mom. So I just go above and beyond, which is it's too much. So we're codependent.
You're physically, emotionally, mentally incapable of being like your mom. So don't even worry about that, which I don't even know if we've really got super into this on the podcast yet. And one day we will have to, but don't worry. Worry about that.
I will give you a brief synopsis because Bert, who is our podcast consultant, and he also he has a morning radio show and he knows a lot about this stuff. He has told me the next time that I say I'm going to talk about this on the next podcast,
just
that's when I need to go in. I'm going to take 2 seconds.
All right, elevator pitch for your mom. Let's go.
Elevator pitch for my mom. So my name is Tammy.
Oh no. And you are your mom right now?
I am my mom right now.
Oh,
I'm gonna give it from her side because
Tammy, you have permission to enter. Tammy, let's go.
My name's Tammy, and I'm a free spirit. I also believe that I'm a witch. I truly believe that deep down in my soul, that I'm a witch, and I came from a long line of witches. Which, back to Tiffany, I believe.
I mean,
okay,
same.
Now back to Tammy. I don't believe in being held down at all. I will do whatever I want, whenever I want. I love the feeling of partying and drugs and drinking and men loving me. I'm a beautiful woman and I'm a wild, free spirit. And I put that above all else. I cannot be controlled. I will not be controlled. And I will do whatever I want, whenever I want. It doesn't matter who's involved.
Okay, Tammy, what do you think you're bad at being a mom? Be honest. Don't lie to us, Tammy.
Well, if it's coming from me, Tammy, I think I'm a very, I think, I don't think there's anything bad. I think what I, do you I give think? My kids a lot of freedom.
A lot of freedom. Okay. So I'm going to have to call Tiffany back in. Tiffany, you now have permission to enter back in.
Hi, my name is 5-year-old Tiffany.
Tiffany, permission to exit. I mean, Tammy, permission to exit. It's a lot of T names. I'm getting confused. It's been a long day.
So my name is Tiffany. I am 7 years old and I just spent 4 days by myself in an apartment alone with no one.
Not good.
Left there alone and I had no food, nothing, no idea where my mom went, when she's coming back, what I'm supposed to do, if I'm supposed to leave this apartment or not. And
this is normal. It's not weird.
I don't feel weird or strange or confused. I feel like this is just
how
I have to figure out. I have to figure out what I'm going to do to take care of myself. So, I at the time went a couple of days without finding any nutrients, any food, and it wasn't strange. So I felt hungry, went to the refrigerator, and saw there was a carton of eggs. That's all there was, and I remember seeing someone make eggs at some point in my life. So I attempted then to crack some eggs. Did a pretty damn good job, if I say so myself, because I was only 7. And I remember just like stirring up these eggs on the pan and then eating them and then being like, I'm going to be okay. And then I just like chilled some more. And then eventually she showed up and I never ever asked questions. I never asked like, where did you go? What were you doing?
Why did you not feed me? Did you just think like this is every parent is like this?
Yeah, I just thought maybe like these are this is just like shit you got to do. It was so normal because I was so used to her being so erratic. Like, you know, when you're on drugs, you will stay up for 2 or 3 days at a time, and you don't really, your life is ran and controlled by drugs. So like you don't know or conceptualize your actions being more important than other people. Like your main goal is to make sure that your addiction is fed.
Yeah.
And now looking back at that, I totally understand. I wish it could be different, but I am empathetic and understanding of the addiction and why things happened the way they did. I can't even say I wish it was different because I'm like
amazing.
So I learned so much from that whole experience and it really has taught me how to be a different and more capable person than her. But it also showed me that I loved how she moved through life being so free. So I think a lot of my like wild free spirit does come from seeing how fun life can be. But I just knew I wanted to be a little bit different. So I think I have a pretty good balance of freedom and wild spirit plus over the top hands-on mom.
You are the epitome of go big or go home. This, you don't, like, you're not half-assing anything. So yeah.
Even being by yourself for 4 days as a 7-year-old, you know?
No. I
figured out.
Truly, I can barely cook eggs. So, and I'm almost 29. So, I mean, my hat is off to you, Tiffany. If I wore hats, it would be off.
And that was a pretty long story. I didn't mean to.
But wait, also, I do have a really quick question, side note. What's the age difference between you and your brother?
5 years.
Where was he? Was he there with you or no?
No, he wasn't. I have no idea. At that point, I don't know.
He was like 12, but
he was very close with my mom. So he would do a lot of stuff with her. Like he was drinking and doing drugs by the time he was 13. So he was just like doing all, he was her little party animal kid. Like they were best friends and were always much closer than her and I ever were. Because I think at a certain point I started questioning her. And I think I've always had this instinct about what's right and what's not right and taking care of myself. And so I think I was like 9 or 10. So I started asking her why she drank and did drugs so much. And I think that was like really triggering for her because she needed that freedom. So that was really when she started detaching herself from me, because I think that I almost at that point, I was holding her back and not letting her be her authentic self.
She's like attacked feeling.
Yeah. Like, you know, she was just like, this is, you know,
she's like, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. What are you talking about?
She, exactly.
She can't face anything that she's done that's negative. Even though,
but I truly believe she doesn't think that she was doing anything wrong. And so I never felt like she was doing anything wrong. I just felt like I needed to do something different. I just wanted a different life. So I just always kind of knew I just wanted to be different.
Yeah. That is crazy. Where was your dad?
So they were divorced. So it would be on her weekends that crazy stuff would go down.
Yeah.
So it was just, that was my time with her. Mm-hmm. And I would never tell my dad anything that went on. I just, for some reason, always knew, I like knew that
she would get in trouble or, you know.
Yeah. Just for whatever reason. And to this day, like, I still want to protect her. So I haven't really talked a lot about this stuff publicly because even now I'm nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to shed too bad of a light on her. Is somebody going to find her and tell her or talk to her? I'm going to upset her.
How are they going
to
find her? You can barely find her.
So my dad was not in the loop on any of this. He didn't find out a lot of this stuff until later. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty heartbreaking for him. And she was really good at teaching me to do things to hurt my dad. And looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so uncomfortable. So I'll never forget one time she was dropping. She picked me up from my dad's house on this weekend and we were leaving and she was like, okay, when you're leaving, I want you to look out the window. So I'm in the back seat, we're driving off and he's like on the front porch, like you would see in like a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. So I was his like everything, just like I was a daddy's
girl. Your brother was like,
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So he's like looking out the window, waving and, you know, sad goodbyes. So I'm looking out the window. And my mom says, okay, now this is what I want you to do, Tiffany. Put both of your hands on the window and look kind of sad. But then take your middle finger.
I was like, no, this is literally where I thought she was going with this. And I was like, surely no.
Take your middle finger and hold both of them up. And then like, you know, shove him up in the air like you really miss him.
That means if you put your middle finger in the air, that means I miss you. That means I really, really miss you.
So I took both of my hands, birds in the air, and shoved him up as hard as I could a couple of times.
Your dad is like, what the?
I will never forget his face.
Have you talked to your dad about that now? Like, you're like, I can't.
Know. It's so, like, my butt clenches up so tight imagining that this little, because I was a really, really introverted kid. So I just was quiet a lot. And
then here you are just like flicking off both hands.
Like, I could imagine that from a wild kid like named Timmy who's just like punching shit as he leaves the thing.
Yeah, and he's like throwing Sid his train from everywhere. Toy Story, like who just demolishes all the toys.
Exactly.
This is Sid from Toy Story. Yes. Like, that's that energy.
But when I look back at how quiet and just to myself I was all of the time, I feel like I don't remember me ever speaking words. I was like, I'm not surprised people didn't question if I was on the spectrum or not because I was just so quiet and always analyzing things, which is not that different from today.
I was about to say, huh?
But then I just imagine this like quiet little girl looking out the window and like shoving these bird fingers in the air so hard. Like I'm like this Harley girl, like just like fuck yeah, motherfucker, like. And I just remember him being like so shocked and then sad at the same time.
Oh,
it was so sad. It breaks my heart to think about it. So I can't address
Tiffany's
it with my
dad. If you are listening to this podcast, know that she did not know what she was doing. She thought that middle fingers meant I miss you a lot, and she is sorry. So
okay, so on that line, I have one more story in that same weekend.
Yeah.
That is really crushing. So I was calling that.
I like love all these stories and I hate, it's like, it like kills me. I'm in my chest. I feel it in my gut. But then I'm also very interested in all this because it's so crazy.
Well, I'm glad that you're not bored by it because I feel like I'm talking too much.
No, God, no.
And I feel like defense mechanism right now is kicking in. So I'm like kind of laughing at all this because I haven't fully addressed a lot of these shadows. So I like still joke and laugh about them. Like they're not totally heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So
shadow work, that's
again, yeah, work I need to do. And part of, you know, even in the next couple of weeks, stuff I'm working on because I hired a business coach. And like part of this business coach is getting really authentic with yourself.
Shadow work.
I've cried a little bit more than I have recently and it's like flowing a little bit easier now. So I was just watching a show and it was the Winx Fairy Saga show or whatever that everybody's loving. And it was honestly, it was really, really good. And there was a part towards the end of like the fifth or sixth episode where they were showing.
Is this the one on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's been on. It's like number one on Netflix for the last whatever. So everyone is going to know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Well, spoiler. well, actually, this isn't a spoiler, but in one of the episodes, they're looking through baby books and they're showing the parents looking at the baby, and they're like so loving and just enjoying the memories and moments they had because they had so many pictures of the baby, and in that moment, it just hit me the wrong way. And I just immediately started crying because I don't know what that's like. And I've never had that. So I felt sad for a moment where I don't think I've really let myself feel sad about any of these things because I've had to be so strong about all of them. So I'm just like, you know, it is what it is. It makes me a really strong person. So cool. Yeah. I'm like a badass.
Well, but in that point, like if you really have to deal with all this stuff and how genuinely like sad it is or makes like upsetting it makes you, like that's a lot
crushing.
To do.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot to go through at one time, especially if you have to do it all at once now, you know, like at a certain point, like you gotta laugh to protect yourself. And it's like, honestly, it's like, it's so bad. It's like sometimes things are so upsetting and so bad that there's nothing you can do but laugh because you're like, what the hell? Like, this is absolutely nuts. Like,
yeah. I know when I'm really fucking mad if I'm laughing at something that's really bad now.
Like, yeah, if now, I'm like if crying and laughing at the same time, like some shit is bad.
Yeah. If your body is laughing at something that's actually really terrible, then you know it's destruction worthy. And so I think I do laugh so that I'm not crushed by the weight of, you know, many years of a lot of toxic
hardcore like that's trauma.
Neglect. The goal is to like slowly let some of this seep in and let myself feel the emotion as it comes in because I can't physically, like I would be sick. You know, you would get really sick if you let all of that flood in at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think that's healthy. So I think if it's, you know, the Virgo in me wants to kind of control how it does flow in, but the fact that I am letting it slowly flow in on occasion, I am proud of. In the past, I would think if I'm crying that I was weak or I wasn't strong enough, and then I would get mad at myself. But I'm pretty proud that in the middle of the show, I had a random thought that I felt like I missed out on something or that I longed for a different, you know, relationship growing up, or like how I wish that I was nurtured differently. And then I had that connection. And then I just all of a sudden was thinking, you know, I wish that I had someone to call and have hard conversations with right now, because like when I'm going through hard things, it would be nice to call someone and say, you know, XYZ is happening. What did you do when you're going through this? But I don't have that.
I was about to be like, you can call me, but then, I mean, I can't give you advice really. I mean,
I'm grateful because I have a beautiful relationship with so many friends and so many like family members and even family members that are really close. But I think that society has deemed that mother-daughter relationship as so important that there's so many milestones in my life that I wished, you know, like having your period or starting or having heartbreak or, getting pregnant or nursing, all of these things where it would be nice to just like
have your mom,
have somebody that's connected to you, that is very, it feels safe. And yeah. I guess that's what a lot of mother daughters have, is that they always have someone to even as much as they piss you off or you get mad at them, you know that they're going to be there for you no matter what. And there's comfort in that stability. And I've just never known what that stability is. So while I'm grateful for the strength that it has given me, sometimes when I see little scenes like that, well, not usually, but today, I saw the scene play out and how the parents were just like so loving and the memories were like flooding through the screen. Mm-hmm. And then they were hanging out with her. And it was just like the sweetest moment. And they were all getting to hang out. And I was just started immediately crying because I was just like, I will never have this. I will never have these memories. I will never have it. It's not even that I can somehow replace them or make it happen, because I'm all about, I believe that you can make anything happen, but yeah. I will never have that in my life. And that finite moment of accepting that I will never have what I see other people have was kind of crushing. And mm-hmm. it just was sad. But then after I felt like, it.
Well, it's different too with Eliza. I mean, you can have those moments with Eliza, but they're not, it's different when you're the kid. Like,
right.
So you can take some comfort at least in knowing that Eliza's going to have a ton of those memories. Mm-hmm. I have like a million Snapchats to prove it to her.
Yeah, for sure.
That can be our montage, just my Snapchat reel one day when she's older.
But the happy ending to that long story is that after I let myself feel sad about that moment and actually accepting the sadness that was involved in it, I felt a little bit exhausted, but I did feel hopeful that, you know, like getting past some of these stuck emotions,
there's another
means
side
that there's like, yeah, there's a lot of beauty on that side and like letting go. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my journey from here going forward is going to be actually accepting that these things did happen, mm-hmm. feeling them, and then letting go of them.
Yeah.
Well, so it'll be interesting to see how this works. And so a lot of this kind of has stemmed from inadvertently from a business coach that I started working with, Jim, who is an absolute gem.
Jim, we love.
I am so excited about working with her. It's like therapy and business coaching all in one. So it's been interesting and I can't wait to share more about how it kind of plays out. And then also have something to talk about that is a little bit attached to her as a business coach, mm-hmm. but we're going to check with Lauren first because I've been talking for a long time. So.
No,
I don't want to steal the show right now.
I love this. I really want to do like a full deep dive episode on your life. Cause mine is not as near interesting, and the trauma that I have is like little things that have added up to things. You like
trauma is anything though.
Oh no, for sure. I'm not like saying mine's invalid. I'm saying mine's just completely different. Like
yours is more in your later in life with dating.
Apples and oranges. It's not, you know, it's not anything like
the trauma is trauma
for sure. And I mean, I learned this past year, like from this podcast, really people we've had on this podcast, that like trauma can be anything as little as like in kindergarten, someone didn't share their crayons with you. And like, you never dealt with that, how that made you feel, like little teeny tiny things like that, mm-hmm. that you just don't think about. And I was like,
I honestly feel like sometimes trauma, if you have really big trauma and hard trauma really early, I feel like that's easier than if you've had, you know, pretty easy circumstances and then you have hard, big trauma happen later. It's like almost like you aren't equipped to figure out how to handle it. So,
yeah.
But maybe this is just, again, a defense mechanism that like, oh, I'm totally fine and everything's great. But I feel like it's pretty easy for me. It didn't feel like a hard life as I was going through it. It just felt like what it was. So it's not, I feel like it hasn't gotten hard yet. Maybe because I haven't let it get hard, but I feel like if you're older and you go through really traumatic things, like it will rock you to your core and really fuck you up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the trauma that I've had in a lot, like in my adult life, is not really like anything crazy, you know, like it's normal people stuff. It's not anything like massively.
But you were on a reality show and everyone watched you get broken up with. That
is like
not
a full panic
normal.
Attack. It's fine.
Okay, no, that's not normal. Normal. Give yourself some credit. You went through some hard shit.
Yeah, no, but that did help like me put into perspective like a lot of things and like was a catalyst to like, I don't know if I would ever have gotten to this point like spiritually, emotionally, mentally or whatever. Not that I'm like in a great place and my end goal here, but like I would have probably, it would have probably taken me like 5 more years to get to realize I needed to be at the place that I'm at now, but I did it in like a year and a half, you know? So it like, I'm still learning obviously, as we know on this podcast, if you've listened at all, but like, I feel like I'm at least more open to lots of different things now that I don't know if I would have been accepting. I don't think I could have handled hearing if I had not gone on the show. Mm-hmm. And I think most people who went on the show can say that too. Like reality shows, they age you. But
the awareness that you have is really beautiful to say, like, I am accepting and grateful for like the experience I had, and mm-hmm. I'm able to now receive the growth and things that have happened to me because mm-hmm. I know that it helps me on my journey. You're right. You would not have been able to say these things a couple of years ago because you were a much wiser, more endowed Lauren than you were back then.
Well, also it's funny because I always have thought that I'm a really self-aware person, and I think I have been always to a certain extent, but like self-deprecating, I guess, is more what it, like more than self-aware, I guess. It's not really self-aware. It's more self-deprecating, I think. And like being aware of what is happening, but like spinning it into like a joke or something, or like a defense, like some kind of defense mechanism where I'm just like laughing. But like, I do think there is something to be said about going through an experience like that. It's truly like, no, like none other. But dating has been a lot harder since then. So I mean, not that it was easy before. It's always sucked. But hey, that's not my story anymore.
That's not your story. Look at you. You.
I hope Nicole Moore is listening to this and she can hear and be like, "My girl."
Dude, that's what it's about: is being aware of and just being able to almost pull yourself away. Like, I just imagine it every time that I'm doing some shit that I'm not supposed to be doing, just like you just did, mm-hmm. is like almost being able to pull yourself out of your body and look down and be like, oh, nope, that wasn't right. She didn't do the right thing. And then you jump back in your body and you're like, no, that's not the right thing to do. I'm supposed to be better than that. I'm going to be better today.
Right. And I think before I was always kind of like self-aware, but I think I was like not ready to like truly face it. So I would just like hide it with like a joke, be like, like I hate dating, everyone sucks. And I do still definitely do that. But now when I say that, freaking Nicole Moore, I swear to God, that bitch.
Because dating,
but I love her.
Dating doesn't suck.
No, I mean,
it's like the experience you've had in the past wasn't great because you were dating the wrong guys.
Yeah, for sure. But I think now it's more of like, I'm self-aware of my self-deprecation, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like a deeper level of self-awareness I'm getting to now. And I'm not all the way deep yet, but I know I'm getting there. I don't know. I don't want to.
I've grown a lot. It's really.
I'm a fast learner.
It's really insane. I'm going to tell you, it's like, I thought I had quick growth, but to see you from the beginning of our podcast, which was
end of September.
Yeah. It's a different person. So like, I'm just excited no matter what happens going forward. If I, you know, die tomorrow and you can never do another podcast with me, I will know that you learned so much from Permission to Enter that I will be, my soul will be filled knowing that I got to watch Lauren transform right before me.
I have to get Thomas Dale. If you know, you know. Thomas Dale is like our first interview that we did. He's literally set the freaking bar for how, what we wanted to do. Like after him, we realized like, okay, this is kind of what we like, the route we think we want to go. And he's like a clairvoyant. He's a Heyoka empath. If you don't know what that is, literally, please, 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 please go listen to that episode. Seriously. Like it's like Permission to Enter Thomas, or Permission to Interview Thomas Dale. And it's like, and
I don't even want people to listen to that.
No, but it was what he, don't listen to us, listen to him. Because what he was saying was so good and so cool. I forgot where I was going with this.
It was.
Now I'm just like overwhelmed with Thomas Dale.
Well, I was talking about your growth, but it is kind of crazy that how much as a podcast we have learned since even October.
Yeah.
Because when I think about, I was thinking about this today, that Thomas Dale was our first interview, and I am cringing. I cringe at how just...
Because we weren't that bad. We were like, honestly, when I think about that, I don't even remember it as being an interview. I remember it as like, I am genuinely just interested in what this person is saying. Like, we're on Zoom. We're like in a session right now. Like, that's how I felt. Like, I don't even remember being recorded.
Maybe it was because I wasn't even sure how to work Zoom really well at that point. And
that was our first Zoom.
My internet kept cutting out, and it was a shit show in my mind. And so now looking back, because
you were on your phone. You weren't even on your computer or your,
I had to switch off of my phone.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that.
And then my mic wasn't working. And then
your sound was not
Thomas
good.
Dale, like, this is our first interview, and he was a big interview. Like, I was very excited that we landed him as a first interview.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I just was, it was a flop in my mind. Not a flop because it was
not a flop, because I think I learned like not the most, but I think I learned, if we're going to say the most, in a way where it set me on a path where I realized like what I need to be learning more.
That's what he does. We need to have him back on here.
Fuck. We got to have him back on. I love him so much. I just want to talk to him all day about like ghosts and shit. Like, and by ghosts, I mean spirits, but it was so cool.
He is very talented.
My freaking grandpa popped into the podcast. He's dead,
guys. Listen to the episode.
He's dead. He
listened.
Died when I was in seventh grade, and he's the grandpa, though, out of all my grandparents, he's the last one I thought would pop up. He's the quietest. And here we go. He popped up in that interview. So listen, go listen if you haven't.
He also brings up my mom in that one.
Yes.
So he was like the first person to be like, something's going on with the energy. Your mom. Yes.
And then your mom reached out. Or she had just reached out, or she...
She had just reached out, and then she showed up.
But he didn't know that.
He didn't know that what
was
going to
happen
after that. But he precluded that she was going to try to form some kind of connection and to accept it. And then shit went down for like a couple of weeks with my mom.
Yes.
And I haven't really talked to her in 10 years. So he like led us to understand that something bigger was happening. And I was like, you know, I think it's already happened because she reached out one time, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But then some shit exploded a couple months ago when I texted you about it, Lauren. So I was screenshotting Lauren a bunch of stuff.
I was shit.
It was.
And also insane. honored that you shared that with me. First of all, I was literally like emotional just from you sharing that with me, but also, which I know we were texting, and so you might not have known that, but I was literally like, oh my God, she's sharing this. Like, she's sending me screenshots. But it also makes me mad because if we were reverse, it would make you mad too. Like, you wouldn't like Tammy if she was doing this to me, if I was her daughter, you know?
No, I would always have your back.
Yeah.
But so I mean, she was
too, which I know you want to, like, she's your mom, and I want everything good ever to happen in that relationship. But I, as your friend, as your little sister, self-proclaimed, it makes me so mad.
But I can't get mad because I am in a place of understanding that she's only capable of what she's capable of. But I've always had this really crazy soft spot for her because
she's your mom. I mean,
I adorn certain things about her, just her freedom and her laugh and how free she is. So I think I do have this, I see a lot of people, it's easy for them to hate their parents that didn't do them the right way. Mm-hmm. But I still love so much about her, I think, because I just learned good and bad from her. And there's never going to be a point where I'll just say like, no, I could never, ever have a relationship with her. I can't do it. But I am very cautious and being protective just because I have my daughter now. So I want to make sure that everything I do going forward is intentional and I'm doing the right things in yeah. all corners. So I'm not against it, but I am cautious. So it's not like a full dive in. It is like a tiptoe into the shallow water.
Yeah. Well, we'll, if you want to one day, I mean, soon.
Yeah, we'll have a whole, I'll tell you about the whole.
I will just like be, I'll be an interviewer and then you'll be my guest and I will just interview you about your life. E True Hollywood Story, Tiffany Hayes.
Okay, but enough about me.
Tell Wait, me actually, week. Let me bring this full circle. You okay. ready for this? Okay, mm-hmm. so going back to Thomas Dale. That's where I'm going to go circle here. So Thomas Dale, that episode, what did he say, Tiffany, about you and Eliza? Eliza popped up. Eliza's Tiffany's daughter. She's 6 years old. And he Wait, said,
can we, interesting can we move things. On? Can we move on?
No.
Yeah. I would like to move on now. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, okay, we do. Because it has to do with the virtual learning.
I know it does. But because not
that's
only
how we started
Thomas
this conversation.
Dale tell me the same thing. Had a psychic tell me the same thing a week yeah. before we talked to Thomas Dale.
Yes. Yes.
And then we had an astrology come on and she kind of read
oh my God,
through I forgot. My stars some of the same shit.
I forgot about that.
So basically, okay, mm-hmm. I'm gonna read this like it is a sad story, like what I have to do in order to thrive in my life.
Not sad.
There was a girl, her
good.
Name was Tiffany, and all she wanted to do was have the most beautiful and engaging and close-knit, intertwined relationship with her daughter. And when I say intertwined, I specifically say that word.
Like Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because our souls are intertwined. And everybody, any type of psychic or empath that I've ever talked to mm-hmm. has said there is like an intertwining
yes.
of emotions with your daughter. I can't even read you because your daughter is so heavy on you.
She always pops up. Everything we do, she pops up.
And so basically my theme of life and how I'm going to be able to transcend, if you believe in reincarnation. The only way you can transcend is if you figure out your life's purpose. And my life's purpose is to be a loving mother while not smothering. Intertwining my soul with my daughter.
We'll say smothering for layman's terms.
I can still smother without being intertwined. So like,
yeah,
it goes
but like
hovering,
helicopter
connected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are the four levels. So right
the street,
now
the street terms are smothering helicopter mom.
Okay. But I can be
a
smothering
cool mom. Yeah.
I can be smothering mm-hmm. and helicopter mom without being intertwined. Cause intertwined
for sure,
is
for
like,
sure. I feel like my mom is smothering and a helicopter mom without being intertwined.
Yeah, so I think those are kind of, those are semi healthy Virgo yes. mom tendencies.
Mom, if I you're am next level. I meant that as a compliment. I love you.
Yeah, I'm next level. So my goal is to unwind the intertwine.
Yeah,
but I will supposedly be a lot happier when
and she will too. Eliza will too.
She is really happy right now.
No, but she will be as she grows older though. They were mm-hmm. talking about this when it was like really important for her. You had to do this before she gets to her teen.
Before she turns 13. Yeah. So I have a couple of years to wean myself off the drug.
Oh my God.
That is motherhood. So I'm not far off of my mom. I'm just addicted to being a great mom.
Yeah,
kill
that's a
me,
good
okay?
addiction.
Like,
okay,
oh,
it's a better
me.
Addiction.
I'm a great mom. Okay, but honestly, everybody has their thing, and if you're full blown addicted to being something, to anything, it's not healthy. And so yeah. I admit I am addicted to being a fully engaged and, the best mom ever, which does not make me any better than anybody
no,
else.
But surface level, that's like, yeah, that's amazing. That's great. But you know, you're going to have to just loosen up the reins a little bit. If you need to talk to Diane, my mom, as she's a Virgo, my mom's a Virgo, and she has me, who is an Aquarius child.
So Eliza's a Virgo, so she can handle a little bit more than you could.
Well, I would
Eliza
say Virgo.
Loves it.
I would also say that when Eliza gets older, though, she's not going to like being told what to do all the time at all from who any
tell
anybody
her what to do. I don't tell her what to do. Or
any kind of advice. You're like that too.
it's just we're codependent. That is a thing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
when she leaves me, she cries and I can feel her soul breaking every time she's not with me. And that's not healthy. Like we're both the same. Like our soul hurts a little bit when we're not together.
Yeah. And see, my mom, like I literally, I'm the first child. And so when I went to kindergarten, you know, my mom was all up in arms, like so upset, like, you know, crying at the window, at the door, like, and I'm literally like, peace, mom. Bye. I'll see you later. I don't know what's about to happen or how long I'm going to be here, but see ya. Like I was totally fine. And I was, and even when like, I asked my mom the other day, cause I have a friend who just had her second baby and they were talking about like, you know, introducing how they're going to introduce it to the firstborn. And I was like, I actually don't really know what did my mom do? So I talked to my mom about it and she was like, I mean, we gave you like a t-shirt that's that said like, I'm the best big sister or whatever. And like the hospital made me watch some video, I guess, on being a big sister. And, which I'm sure prepared me for nothing, because you don't prepare for having a little sister. Like once they start talking, you don't know what's going to happen after that. So, but my mom said that she was basically like, I was always fine with being a big sister because that meant that I could just go peace out and go to my grandparents, basically, whatever. So I would spend more time with my grandparents maybe. And I was just like totally, totally chill. My sister though, opposite, addicted to like, mommy-itis. She wouldn't even go to my dad hardly. Like she just wanted my mom. Like she wasn't
so interesting.
Mom, hysterically crying. Yeah.
And that's usually like a first child tendency. Like you guys are flopped.
Oh no. I would
just
go
a free spirit.
My mom, but it's funny because my mom with me, she was almost like me and my sister are 3 years apart. So like I started talking around like 9 months. Who shocked? Not
shocker.
Anybody. I also never crawled, by the way. I just started walking, so I'm a natural overachiever. Anyway, that's on Leo Moon. But my mom always says like she got so like upset because I would just go to anybody. I would go to whoever. And she would be like think that she was doing something wrong. She's like, why doesn't she love me enough? or something.
Oh my God, such a Virgo mom.
I know. Meanwhile, she didn't know. If she knew about astrology, she would have known I'm an Aquarius sun, Aquarius rising, and a Leo Moon. And she would have known exactly why I was going
her
to anyone.
Baby just lived her life, you know?
I was just a little weirdo child who's passionate about everything and liked to talk and have attention from whoever would give it. Like, truly did not care. So, yeah, I would go to literally anyone. Strangers in the street, didn't matter. And my mom was upset about that. And then she had a second child. She got what she asked for. My sister was a...
She manifested it.
Yep. She was mommy-itis, wouldn't even leave my mom ever without having
a full meltdown. So did she love it or hate it and like kind of love hate it?
I don't know. I feel like I'm definitely the favorite child, you know?
Does your sister listen to the podcast?
The hell? No way. There's no way.
I feel like she wouldn't.
There's absolutely no chance she listens to the podcast. I don't even think she's seen Love Is Blind.
My mom do not listen to the podcast.
My mom and my dad for sure. My dad sometimes, I think. My mom definitely listens to the podcast. So shout out Diane, we love you.
Hi. Yeah, I always think about your parents like listening.
Yeah, yeah. For
As
sure.
I'm cussing and saying vulgar things.
Well, the cussing doesn't matter. My parents have. I mean, they've cussed every word, everything I know. I learned from them, so it is what it is. But yeah, anyway, I guess we could maybe get into the topics that we were going
to
discuss.
Yeah, I think we're not even going to need to talk about a lot of those things. We had to way cooler, bigger stuff.
I was going to say, truthfully, I like this conversation more than the one we had prepared. And I feel like every time we prepare a conversation, this happens.
I just want to be honest with you guys. We never end up talking about what we set out to talk about.
No. Not when it's just me and you.
Right.
I mean... When we have guests, we like pretty much know the general like vibe of the episode. But like even that sometimes takes a turn. But
okay, but hold on really fast. I want to rewind to the school.
Yes.
Dropping kids off at kindergarten. I had some really funny DMs from people telling me stories about what happened when they dropped their kids off. So I want to involve you guys. Please share with us anything that was either funny or sad or traumatic when you dropped your kindergartner off or your first grader or any first year when you dropped them off, like what they did, because these stories for some reason are so funny what these kids do. Kids are just a ball of unpredictable. You just never know.
They're drunk adults. Kids are drunk adults. And that's why I love kids. I love them so much. And I don't always, I like drunk adults until it gets to a certain, and also like throwing up and stuff, which same with kids. I like kids until they're throwing up and pooping. And
exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I do want to say though, I mean, first of all, I want to know virtual learning though. I know a lot of people can relate to that. I'm not in school and I don't have kids, so I cannot really super relate to that. I work from home, so I do work virtually, but that's all I can compare it to. But I truthfully cannot imagine parents who are sitting at home trying to work and also trying to have virtual learning. And kindergarten, no less, like...
Okay, so shout out to all the moms and the dads.
Seriously.
Who are teaching all the kids
the parental guardians that are doing this shit, because that's insane.
I feel like especially the kindergarten through second grade, you're really having to be hands-on because you're having to like, they can't
all
read
elementary
the computer.
School. All of elementary school like, almost.
You know, they might be a little, they're able to read the directions.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
If you have kindergarten first, second, like they don't necessarily comprehend the directions as much. So you have to teach them the directions before they can actually do an activity, and they can't really navigate through a website. So I'm really, you know, I'm running the show, and then she will do an activity for 3 to 6 minutes because these activities are not long activities. So once I start her on an activity, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have a little bit of time to do some work. So I will set her up. And then I will go and start hammering away as quick as I can, like emails, work. And then 30 seconds in, she's like, wait, mommy, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, fuck. Okay. I just spent 2 hours figuring out this fucking website. So first off, I'm never going to get any work done ever again, because when you're in that moment, you're like, fuck it. I, this is my new life. This is my new normal. I will have no other life. You are so in the moment that you just give up on everything else. I can't even explain to you other than you just essentially give up on the rest of your life because it's so heavy in that moment. You're just like, nothing else matters. I mean, this is my job to teach them how to be a good human. So like, I guess this is it now. I'm just going to fucking teach them
I am.
How to do a website.
Thanks, Tiffany. Wait, so do you think you would have the same feeling? Like, what would you, because I know, so Atlanta Public Schools, I think they've been, from what I understand, like they've been virtual all year. So do you think that you'd feel the same way if she was virtual all year? Or do you just feel like, especially like that, because it was just that one, like 1 week-ish?
Well, yeah, I think there's definitely a learning curve in the beginning. So when you have to learn a new software for anything, a job, yourself, anything, there is a learning curve. So you have to take the time, as Brene Brown says, your FFF, fucking first time. Anytime you're doing anything for the first time, it's going to feel exhausting and overwhelming, like it takes forever to do anything. Mm-hmm. So it felt like it took me forever just to figure out how to log into this kid's software. And I was like, if I can't figure this out, she's never going to figure it out. So I'm always going to be in charge of doing the clicking around. Mm-hmm. But you know, that goes away after a couple of days after you play around with it. So I think if I were a virtual full time, it would be less overwhelming. But on the other hand, I do believe that being an educator is a lot of work, and especially kindergarten, first, second grade, it is very, very hands-on.
Yeah.
And if you're not specifically helping them through these certain things, they're losing out on an opportunity to like nurture their little spongy brains. And so I take it really seriously that it's my job in those moments to make sure I'm an educator at that time. So I take it really seriously because I don't want her to be an imbecile.
She could never.
Well, I mean, if everybody had the education of a kindergartner without the education of like actual teachers, everybody would be an imbecile. So it could happen. If we don't ever go back to normal school, like everybody is going to be a little bit dumber.
That's true. No one will know how to share at all.
That's all you care about.
Listen,
who cares about the engineering and the mathematics of science and
first
all that
of all, no
You're
one,
like, no one knows how to share.
No,
Amanda.
Listen, I don't remember learning like spelling, reading, like you know, math, science. Well, first of all, I don't think I ever truly learned math and science. But second of all,
Because you're fucking worried about sharing. Won't share.
Well, that's
so of course you're not learning science.
That's not because, okay, I'm good at sharing with my friends. But when you have a little sister who like mm-hmm. steals your stuff without asking, and then she literally used to like, my mom's going to be so mad at me for talking about this on the podcast, whatever. It's my podcast. You can't stop me, mom.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
I'm going to get a text after this one. Be like, okay. I usually get a text after my mom listens to the podcast. So it's fine. Or a call.
That's what we're going to rename our podcast to. It's my podcast and I'll do what I want to.
And I will talk shit about my sister if I want to. No, but little sisters, like, and we were 3 years apart, so it's not like a massive difference, you know, like we had a very big chunk of our lives, most of our lives, we were in similar sizing of clothing. And so that bitch would always, when I was in high school and she was in middle school, because she would get home sooner. And
oh, that would be so cool, I would get, to have a high school sister.
Well, and I know, right? And she did not even appreciate it for what it was, but whatever. And I would have theater after school too. So I wouldn't be home until late. But when I did come home right after school, she would literally run. She would like come home, run in from the bus, go to the laundry room, which we had a two-story house. Her room was on the top floor or on the second floor. And the laundry room is on the main level. And she would go into the laundry room and change her clothes really fast into like pajamas and then put my clothes back where she found them. Not exactly where she found them.
It's sneaky. Those younger siblings have to be sneaky.
Not exactly where she found them though. Because every roommate I've had since too, I would get on to Robert about this so much. Me and my previous roommate, Amber, are both the oldest siblings. She has two younger brothers. I have a younger sister, but Robert, who I also used to live all three together, he is the youngest sibling. So he didn't get it when I would know I shared a bathroom with him and he would like use my shampoo and it would just be like turned backwards. Like my shampoo would be turned the other way and I'd be like, don't use my fucking shampoo. And he's like, how did you even know? And I'm like, because it was turned backwards. And he's like, you're a fucking psycho. Why did you even notice that? How did you even remember? And I don't even think I don't consciously, I'm like, okay, I'm turning the shampoo this way. I just remember because
older sibling awareness.
Yeah, it's older sibling awareness from having, it's the trauma of having a younger sibling.
Having to stay on top. You're like Sherlock Holmes. Like you notice every little detail.
Yes.
You know that somebody's always going to be fucking around with you.
Yeah. I'm like, I know when shit has gone awry. Like I can tell if anything has been moved. And my mom was always so confused by this because, you know, she's a Virgo and I am definitely not. And I would have like a scattered room. Like, you know, I'd say everything has its place, but it would not necessarily look the neatest. And my mom, even when she was a child, she'd had like a very neat room, whatever. But my mom would be like, I can't, like, can you tell me where like your keys are or whatever, or something like that. It would always mind boggle her because I would be like, oh, they're in like the bottom right drawer of my dresser in the left corner. And they're like literally under like 10 pairs of socks. Like my keys are just shoved in there. And she's like, how did you even know that? And that's called ADHD. It's unorganized organization. Do not fuck with my system. I know where everything is, even if it looks like I do not. Okay?
I'm the same way. I know where everything is. So that's the tough part about going from living with no one to then bringing in a child. So Liza.
Yeah.
Then to adding in three boys. Which was probably the hardest thing I'm pretty fanatical about certain things, such as my water bottles. My water bottles are my babies. And if I don't have a water bottle next to me at all times, mm-hmm. I have like a panic attack. It's an like
extension
I've lost
my arm. I've been like that since high school. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I have very specific water bottles I drink out of, which just happens to be the same water bottle that Lauren drinks out of.
And well, yours is bigger actually than mine, and mine's 32 ounces. So.
Well, yeah, I moved up to the 40 ouncer.
Yeah, she's no time for 32 anymore. I probably should do that.
But I will say that, okay, I had the same one water bottle for many years, and I never needed another water bottle because I could use that water bottle, throw it in the dishwasher, wash it, use the next morning, and never an issue. Mm-hmm. Moving in with three boys, if you leave anything out that they could possibly get their grubby hands on, you'll never see it again, ever, ever. And if you do see it again, it's only half of it, which makes it fucking sadder. So like you'll find the top of the water bottle in the actual water bottle, but you'll never see the straw ever again. So you just wasted $15 on a water bottle that you can never use because mm-hmm. this type of water bottle has to have a very specific straw.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's just trash and you have to accept that you have to throw it away, but you won't throw it away because you hope that one day you're going to find that straw that's probably in the bottom sock drawer of some nasty boy's shit.
Gross.
Not triggered at all.
Yeah, you feel nothing about this topic.
That's totally fine. Everything is great. But I did take it upon myself to order 8 more of these water bottles. And I will tell
8?
You, it only
Wait, whoa. Let me back. You bought 8 40-ounce
No.
So water bottles?
The 40 ounces for me. Okay. I then purchased 7 more. I purchased 1 more 32-ounce and 6 24-ounces.
But you have 8 water bottles, like...
No. I purchased 8.
So you have 9.
Purchased 7. But that does not mean...
Whatever.
So 6 of one size, 1 of the bigger size. Because I was like, I'm going to have a backup just in case. But I don't ever lose my shit, ever. I don't ever lose anything. So I don't even know why I got it. But it only took us about 3 weeks to not have any water bottles at all, which is so infuriating to me. How do you lose anything?
Oh my God.
If you wash a water bottle and then you take it out of the dishwasher, you then make sure that you put the straw, you put the cap, and you put the water bottle back all in the same place. You don't leave the water bottle at school or work or in your book bag or in your car. You take care of that. That is your possession. So I don't understand this. I am highly not triggered, actually.
No, yeah, not.
Everything is fine.
Completely fine. I can tell. This episode has turned into just a lot of venting. So can I? Okay. We're approaching an hour here. And I think I have like a topic that could take 10 to 15 more minutes.
I got about 4 more minutes in me.
Okay. Well, we'll have to save it for another time then. And the topic is something I've wanted. It's literally been on my list and I am
okay, but if you're going to talk, I'm good. I've just, you know, I have
to unleash.
Lauren, I keep Lauren up to date with, I'm going to be really honest, as an introvert and as a manifester, which is a human design, which we're a whole nother topic that I have to touch on before we get off of here.
Yes.
Because something really exciting and amazing happened, which I'm also going to talk about in just a couple minutes.
Yes.
As a manifester, I just recently learned that it is totally normal for me to run out of energy really quickly because I will give everything I have in that moment. So I have to set boundaries around not giving more than I'm actually supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And just as an introvert, I only have the capacity to talk for a certain amount of time before I just completely burn out. And then I will just be annoyed and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done.
That's fair. But as a projector, which is what I am in my human design, I do feel like I have a day job, obviously, and this is my only outlet that I like care about my job. Obviously, I like my job. It pays the bills. And I'm in staffing, so I do genuinely leading people into like a better path for themselves and, you know, that kind of, or like offering something that could lead to that. Mm-hmm. But I do feel most of the time that I cannot be like my normal brain thinking self. I do try to be as more authentic, as most authentic as I can as a recruiter or account manager, whatever. But like, I think these podcasts for me though are where I get my energy.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense.
I mean, not that I don't care about my job again, but like, I actually am like more passionate about this, and I like doing this more than I would like doing any other day job, not even just the one that I'm doing now. And I do actually like the field that I'm in, but,
Well, quick backstory on projectors, because we kind of talked about human design, which I have no issue like going through some of the, there's four main categories.
A big, full human design podcast coming for you, and it's been amazing.
I have never been more excited about this person coming on. I fangirled so hard the fact that she said yes.
Yeah.
I literally died inside. I was just like,
I forced Tiffany to message her, and she was like, the night before, she's like, literally last night, she was like, we can't get her. She's like on these big podcasts and I just can't. And I was like, whatever.
Well, I didn't say we couldn't get her. I just figured she might be too busy or might not even respond, because she probably gets a lot of requests, because she is a highly sought after interview.
Yeah.
So I just like
it's so
freaked out a little bit, because I was so excited. So the concept behind this is it has to do with, and then I'll let you get into your stuff, Lauren.
I feel like this is more interesting.
What were you going to talk about? Now I'm just interested.
Just like dating and like the levels of it, because I'm just like frustrated with it right now and always, but we can just keep going.
Actually, okay, we'll get out to that after, because I love talking about that stuff, because it's not about me, so it's not as draining. Okay, so a quick breakdown really fast of like even what we're talking about when we say projector and manifestor. This was a system that was built to help people kind of understand and navigate through their life with more acceptance of who they are and where they're at and how to work through life. So really society has built this grind mentality that you have to be working all of the time in order to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's not true. Like, you still have to work hard, but based off of your exact time of birth, where you were born, and how the stars and universe were aligned can help guide you, just like astrology, because it's all science-based, will help guide you and understand and accept how your energy is supposed to flow through life and the harmonies that you can maintain through different groups while being connected to other people. So basically what that means is every person has a type attached to them, and that type can help you understand when you're supposed to rest, when you're supposed to work, when you're supposed to break. And every person that I've ever talked to about this has found that it resonates so hard, and that they found so much acceptance of what flows in and out of them, that they've like found so much peace with just understanding about themselves. And you're excited because it makes more sense. It honestly, and again, astrology makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
This actually makes more sense to me than astrology.
It's
so
it's less like woo-woo, and it seems more cut and dry, you know?
Yeah, because it doesn't
matter. And I love the woo-woo, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I freaking love astrology, and I think they go hand in hand, truthfully. But yeah, human design stuff, that's pretty cool. We actually learned about it like very kind of randomly, I feel like, a few months ago. And then
I listened to a podcast that she just randomly had it on there. And so I got excited about it. This was about 8 months ago. I got excited about it. And I was like, Lauren, oh my gosh, like our types make so much sense. Mm-hmm. And then at the time, I didn't really bring in the information, because sometimes you have to be ready to receive the information in order to really take it in. Mm-hmm. So I was excited about it. And then I listened to a couple of podcasts, and then I just moved on to something else, you know,
it like was a more true like, oh, manifestor. This is cool. This is interesting.
Right.
But now that we've had our podcast, we've gone some deep spiritual levels here.
Honestly, I pushed it on you a lot, because the reason why I got more excited about it is when I had my first call with the business coach that I'm working with, she was like, are you a manifester and from human design? And when she the fact that she could specifically understand what I was based off of some of my business struggles, I was like, I felt so seen. I need to know more about this.
Well, didn't you think that you were like a generator or something different? You didn't think you were a manifester, or you thought you were a projector and I was a generator or something.
I've always known what I was.
Because I feel like
you that I messed up.
I feel like for me, I didn't know that there was like an actual like thing you could look up to see what you actually are. Like, I thought I just had to like feel it out. Like, oh, I feel like I'm maybe a manifestor.
I think because maybe I charted you. So I knew what you were. I just forgot the name of it, but I knew you were the same as Raquel mm-hmm. from Your Own Magic because I charted you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, yeah, whatever they said about like you work best like 3 hours a day. I was like, that's mm-hmm. me.
Yeah. Yeah. Go. So, but yeah. I knew you were the same as Raquel and I knew you were the same as the person that we have coming on to the podcast, Erin Claire Jones.
Hey, because so projectors also are basically the best one to have. Just saying. I well, feel like Erin projectors agree with me.
Yeah. Did you know that she was a projector?
Yeah. I listened to like two of her podcasts.
So a lot of podcast hosts are projectors. So a lot of the people that you listen to, they're going to yes. be the guiders of the energy. So that's going to be, so Bert is also a projector. It just so mm-hmm. happens that everybody close to me in my life is a projector, which is just very interesting. I think that I have those people really close to me, especially because these two types of energy can burn each other out very quickly because we need a lot of rest and two, we take on other people's energy pretty easily. Yeah. So the tendency is that you can just exhaust each other very easily together based off of kind of what I understand about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to speak too much on the exact what happens because I'm not certified in it, but I have done some deep dives and I know a lot of
more than facts. The average person. Yeah.
More than the average,
typical average person. Typical Tiffany Virgo stuff. Listen to any of her other podcasts with people on it. You get it already. Like she knows so more than I was, the average person. Sometimes so
I've already an expert. I've already charted like 40 people in the last 3 days because I get obsessive. And this has yeah. something to do with, you know, a manifester. Okay. First, let me tell you this and then I'll tell you what a manifester is. So, I was charting someone yesterday and she was like, wait, you should be a manifest, like a human design coach. So every person yeah. that I ever talk to about anything always says like, you should be XYZ coach
in whatever,
because I research everything like exhaustively.
Yeah.
But then I move on. I want to be done. I want to move on to the next thing, which mm-hmm. has something to do with my human design. Yeah. Okay. So I'll tell you first about manifestors. And that'll kind of explain me and then a lot of other people. And then we're going to talk more about Lauren because I really am fascinated by the projector group in general. Because I have so many projectors in my life mm-hmm. and I am really drawn to their energy for whatever reason. I just love the energy of projectors.
Yeah.
But they are a special, there's something special about them.
Also, side note, our next podcast, though, is a hypnotherapist and
I'm excited about that.
And a sleep, like a dream interpreter. And we have been wanting to get someone who's a dream interpreter on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to have at least one dream that I can remember and write down between now and our next recording of this.
There will be no shortage on my end. I have an adventure every single night.
That's so cool. Okay.
It's anyway. Really exhausting. Okay. So it's funny because as you were saying that, I just realized the reason why I probably appreciate projectors so much is because projectors can help guide energies, which kind of like helps manifestors get what they want done, accomplished. Mm-hmm. I will say, I think that manifestors, which are like 8% of the population. So they're the second to first most rare. And I think this one is my
reflectors
least.
Reflectors are the most rare. They're like.
So reflectors, they're 1%. And it'll make more sense when we talk about it. I think manifestors might have the hardest one and like the least fun. Because it's like everything is going to be kind of hard because it's so scattered.
Mm-hmm.
And like you have to have the other types in order to do anything. While yeah. I think it's cool to be a manifestor because you're like a leader and you get to rule things. Technically, like mm-hmm. manifestors used to be the rulers of the world. So pharaohs, kings, queens. But modern age manifestors are
if you think
leaders.
About it, though, pharaohs, kings, and queens, like they don't do shit. Like they have all these ideas. They can't do any of it unless they have all of their people on their teams.
Right. So manifestors need a team.
And all of the designs are leaders, like can be leaders in some form or another. But yeah, for sure.
But manifestors are the ultimate, the easiest description of them is they are here on earth to inform and initiate ideas and innovations. So really when I, at my core, if I'm really honest with myself, my biggest struggle is execution on my ideas, because in my design, it's not in my nature or in my natural ability to be able to set a plan and execute the plan start to finish, because it's my job on this earth to initiate and innovate. So I am in my best being when I'm able to create ideas and move on. So the concept of a manifestor is that the world needs new ideas and new concepts, constantly innovating new ideas. And this is really where I thrive. Like I dream about new ideas and I have notes and notes and notes of just like ideas of things to do and things to talk about. But it can be overwhelming because as an entrepreneur like myself, a lot of the workload falls on you. So you have to then start that project from start to finish. And that's when I will start a project and be really excited about it. But then as I'm starting that project, I then imagine, oh my God, there's another idea within this project.
Yeah.
And then you get excited about that. And then you're on to the next thing and you're on to the next thing. Because in my design, it's not in my nature to start things from start to finish. But that's where other people come in and that's where they thrive. Some people love and it's necessary for them to start things from start to finish. So This is going to be your generator group. So
I wish I could be a generator also.
I just feel like they get so much shit done. But they also, so on the generator side, they envy the creative side that a lot of projectors and manifestors have. So we really do need each other.
Grass is always greener.
And I'm not saying like either one is better than the other. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But really, we can't do anything without generators. So generators make up 70% of our population, broken into two different groups. The overall overarching theme of generators is that, one, they're doing deeply satisfying work to them because they're going to wake up with like a set amount of energy and they need to use up all that energy and get rid of that energy before they go to bed. Otherwise, they're not going to sleep well. They're going to be restless. And it's what gives them great joy is to be able to wake up, do what makes them happy, and then be done with it.
I try to live my day as a generator, and I am just not, and it never works. And then now I know why, because I'm not a generator, I'm a projector.
Exactly. It'll be the opposite for you. So if you were to wake up, try to expend all of your energy within a day's load, you're actually not going to be able to sleep because you worked too much. And you gave too much of yourself, so you then will be restless, so you won't get rest. So the best thing a projector, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. we'll talk about that in a second. But generators, again, the best thing they can do is find the right work, deeply satisfying, be able to get all of their energy out. And if you are feeling their overarching theme of satisfaction is being able to say that they do what they love and can do a lot of work.
Yeah.
So a lot of generators, they can hammer out 8 or 10
checking
hours of work.
Checking off that to-do list, no matter what.
Like just bam, bam, bam. And then, you know, they get everything done. That's where they thrive in life is when they get all that stuff done, they can go to bed at night. Everything's great. We come to our projectors, which is like my favorite group, I think, because I do have so many projectors in my life. Like everybody. Literally everybody I love is a projector. So this is a special group because it's a joke in the human design world. I've done so much research that now I know jokes about projectors.
Okay. I'm a joke to you. Fine, whatever.
No, there's a joke because everyone on the outside, they look like the quote lazy type, but really they're getting the most done in the least amount of time because they have the
smarter, not harder. That's always, always my mantra,
but they do require a lot of rest. So if you're a projector, you need to be able to fire off this energy that you have for a couple of hours and then rest for a long amount of time. So if you're a projector and you hear this, you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm finally given permission to be able to work on something I love for a couple of hours, which because I love it and I'm able to do it. I like all projectors usually will say I can get more done in 3 hours than the average person can get done in 8 or 10 hours because they just have this like burst of energy, but then it's done. They need to rest. They need to be done with it.
I do
turn it off and rest.
Pockets of energy all day. And then I just like have to just go through emails and I'm like randomly doing all this, like, you know, whatever, like non-thought provoking stuff for my job, or like I'll fall into my phone, you know, like stuff like that. Or I like want to stretch or lay down. Like, and I feel like, cause I work from home now, especially it's been like so much more difficult for me to like just get the work done in the hours that I need to get the done. So I feel like projectors do have a struggle with like, if you, like I was telling Tiffany yesterday, if you give me 8 or 9 hours to get something done, get a few things done, I will stretch it out into the, cause I will rest in between and I'll like take some breaks, like mental breaks, not like I'm like sleeping, but like, you know, mental breaks. And then I will, you know, the most I get done is, I was telling Tiffany like yesterday, the most times I get stuff done is right before a meeting, like 30, 40 minutes right before I have a meeting. And that's because I know I won't be able to do much work for the next, like once 3 o'clock happens, I have a meeting at 3 o'clock, for the next like 3 to 4, I won't be able to do anything. And I know I have to get XYZ done. So I will like hammer all the shit out right before a meeting and then just like chill.
But see, that's like, that's the whole part of why like society has deemed us that we have to work.
And it does seem lazy. You know, I will say it does. And I have been called lazy, a procrastinator.
But only because of society.
Yeah. And I for sure am a procrastinator, but that's because if you give me a long time to do something, I'm going to just take as much time as I need because I know I can just have breaks or whatever. Why would I be working so hard if I know I don't need to, it's not due until this time?
But that means you're just already living in the energy that you're supposed to. So like you're already following your design.
That's how I was in school too. And I would always get good grades on, well, decent grades on like my projects, depending on the class. But yeah, so I mean, I think I've always touched on it, but I think life, like society, every workplace wants you to be a generator. No matter how your design is, no matter what your human design is, they want everyone to be a generator, work like a generator, work for 8 hours, 9 hours, hardcore, like plus, you know, whatever per day.
But,
and you need to be like just getting results all day. And like, that's just not possible.
That's just not how everybody works. But like everybody, they could get so much more accomplished if there was some understanding and different structure of having a more flexibility on how people work. And I'm not saying that. So typically projectors, your 9-to-5 job isn't going to work for your typical projector, but that doesn't mean you can't have a 9-to-5 job as a projector. It's like you have to then figure out how to take those breaks when you're feeling the burnout. So we all need each other is like basically the theme of human design.
And
it's
really
supposed
cool.
to be harmonious. It is cool. And it really does. As much as we've joked about this, it really does give you a sense of acceptance and understanding like how you can work more efficiently.
And why some levels of work are harder for you than others. So we really went off on like basically two podcasts today, which I'm not mad about because I'm very excited for this human design one. And I really do think it's something you can't just be thrown into. Like, I do genuinely think
you gotta be lubed up a little bit before you jam it in there.
We're lubing you up here. This is the lube podcast for the human design lube that we're giving you right now. And we're really gonna just go at you hard.
We're going deep penetration.
We're getting deep. We're penetrating deep and hard and fast in 2 weeks.
You have permission to enter deep and hard and fast next week.
Yeah, in two weeks. Yeah, because next week we'll have our, I am genuinely excited for this hypnotherapist. Sleep, like not sleep, but coach. What am I saying? Help. Okay, hypnotherapist / dream interpreter. I am so freaking excited about this, and there's also a few more people that we have coming in the pipeline as well. Tiffany, that we need to talk about. But this is going to be a great, great season, guys. But I think for now, we've done enough talking.
We've done enough talking.
If you have made it this far, I love you so Cheers. Much. Like,
you're definitely a generator. You're a fucking generator.
You're a generator.
You made it to the end. That's what a generator does. They make it to the end of everything they do.
Yep.
I'm going to guarantee you that no manifestors and no projectors made it to the end of this
Not
podcast.
In one sitting. Not in one sitting.
Yeah, definitely. Double, triple, maybe quadruple sitting.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We're so sorry. But if you got this all in one sitting, please DM us. We want to know. Yes. Oh, rate, review, subscribe, guys. We literally never tell you to do that, but please
click,
do.
Click, like, and review and all those things. Yeah,
typical listeners.
I never
got a lingo, right. Okay? Rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram.
Dang, I have a
at Lauren. PTE Podcast, at 123 Lauren C. Tiffany?
Tiffany Danielle XO.
Gossip girl. We're gonna link this just human design things. If you know what time you're born, your location, the date, obviously you know what your birthday is, so that's all you need. So yeah, we'll send that to you, and then just screenshot it and save it for later. If you want to do some digging, you can. If not, no worries. But for now,
you
have to just cancel the rest of this whole like hour. 2 hours we could go on. So you know what? We are giving you.
You now have permission
to
exit. I always say it faster than
that
you.
Was close. That was close.
No, we were so off.
That was close.
I wouldn't say we made it, but we made it through. We just had moose mag and we made them do that. We just made a way. We gon' take it up, we won't fade away. I got too many dreams, gotta stay away. Ask me if I change, yo, it's night and day. I told the backstabbers, put the knife away. I'm tryna get my family to a nicer place. Room for everybody, but no room for hate. Everybody eating off the nicest plate. When it all comes together, yeah. When it can't get any better, yeah. Play this when it all comes together, yeah. When it can't get any better, but you better keep on grinding, keep on rising, keep on shining. They forget, then you remind them what we call a perfect timing. But you better keep on grinding, keep on rising, keep on shining. They forget, then you remind them what we call a perfect timing.
I'm like, hey. I know I gotta keep going. Up at 5 in the morning, come on.